السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، نحمده ونسبحه ونقدسه على آلائه ونعمائه، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، إلها واحدا أحدا فردا صمدا حيا قيوما، نؤمن له بالربوبية ونقر له بالعبودية. من يهدي الله فهو المهتدي، ومن يضلل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا. ونشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله، أرسله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله. اللهم صل وسلم وزد وبارك وترحم على محمد وآل محمد، كما صليت وسلمت وباركت وترحمت على إبراهيم وآل إبراهيم في العالمين، إنك حميد مجيد. وصل اللهم وسلم على أوصيائه وخلفائه. عباد الله، أوصيكم ونفسي بتقوى الله عز وجل. قال الله في كتابه الحكيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: فكيف إذا جئنا بكل أمة بشهيد وجئنا بك على هؤلاء شهيدا. صدق الله العلي العظيم، وصلوا على محمد وآل محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد.
In discussing the matter of divine testimony, shahada, and divine authority, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses Rasulullah, our Prophet. Surah An-Nisa, chapter number 4, verse number 41. He tells him, فَكَيْفَ إِذَا جِئْنَا بِكُلِّ أُمَّةٍ بِشَهِيدٍ وَجِئْنَا بِكَ عَلَى هَؤُلَاءِ شَهِيدًا. He says, imagine the scene, imagine the spectacle that we bring a shaheed, a witness, from every nation to testify for and against his people. وَجِئْنَا بِكَ عَلَى هَؤُلَاءِ شَهِيدًا. Imagine if we resurrected you as a witness to those people, the believers, and the non-believers as well. What kind of scene it would be. So Allah is saying that on the Day of Judgment, this Prophet whom he is addressing will rise as a witness either for his nation or against his nation which he himself is from. Other verses in the Quran also allude to this fact, that every group has a witness. So chapter 16 verse 84, chapter 40 verse 51, that there is a shaheed, a witness. Not only does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have authority, and not only do the believers whom He has bestowed also have authority, but also there are witnesses which have authority. And these witnesses are called upon on the Day of Judgment to testify for or against those whom they belong to, the nation which they belong to. So every group of people has a witness, and this witness is more general than a prophet or a non-prophet. So this witness could be a prophet. So Musa, for instance, was a witness to Bani Israel. Harun was a witness to Bani Israel. Yusha was a witness to Bani Israel. Our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was a witness to his people. Isa alayhi salam was a witness to his people. Now we'll discuss the role of the witness. What does the witness do? What is basically the job, the role, and the designation of the witness? But this witness could either be a prophet or it could be a non-prophet. So for instance, if you look at the era which succeeded Prophet Isa alayhi salam, the almost 6 centuries, which was between the Prophet Isa and our Prophet, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In this period, there were also witnesses. Witnesses who came in the form of successors of the Prophet Isa. And they were not prophets. We know that there were no prophets, according to popular Islamic belief, that there were no prophets after the Prophet Isa until the time of our Prophet. However, there were successors. There were successors who held the roles of the Prophet. They delivered the messages of the Prophet. They guided people towards the teachings of the Prophet. These people also served as witnesses. So the witness which is mentioned in the Qur'an is not necessarily a prophet. The witness which is mentioned in the Qur'an could also be a successor of a prophet. It could be an imam. It could be a wise person. However, who does, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks of these witnesses who will rise, who are the most fitting to be witnesses to or against their people? It's not anyone who can be a witness. I cannot witness on the Day of Judgment. I cannot testify to the evil of someone if I myself am guilty of that evil. So if I drink, I cannot stand on the Day of Judgment and say, "Oh Allah, you know, my neighbor was also drinking." This would not serve as a valid testimony. In order for this testimony, this shahada, to have any sort of validity, its source, the person who is testifying, has to be someone who is completely free of sin. So a prophet or a non-prophet. But this person has to be completely free of sin, has to be completely free of accusation. The Qur'an mentions the Day of Judgment as a day of testimony and as a day of witnessing. In Surah Al-Jum'ah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ثُمَّ تُرَدُّونَ إِلَىٰ عَالِمِ الْغَيْبِ وَالشَّهَادَةِ, that do what you want in this world and claim that which you want to claim in this world. ثُمَّ تُرَدُّونَ إِلَىٰ عَالِمِ الْغَيْبِ وَالشَّهَادَةِ, that after you make these claims, that you will be taken to a world where the unseen shall be revealed. يَوْمَ تُبْلَى السَّرَائِرُ, on that day the unseen shall be revealed. So regardless of what I say in this world, I can make a claim. Because this verse is addressing those who claim themselves as the chosen people. قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ هَادُوا, O you, the chosen people, the Jews who claim that you are the chosen people, إِنْ زَعَمْتُمْ أَنَّكُمْ أَوْلِيَاءُ لِلَّهِ مِنْ دُونِ النَّاسِ, that if you claim that you are the chosen people and you are the preferred people and that God has preferred you, not out of your faith and not out of your good deeds, because faith and good deeds give a person preference. If you claim that you have preference just because of your lineage, just because of your DNA, فَتَمَنَّوُ الْمَوْتَ إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ, that if you are truthful, then ask that Allah takes your life and that He enters you into heaven without any more trial and tribulation. وَلَا يَتَمَنَّوْنَهُ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, no, they do not wish. They do not wish. Because they know what they have done. And they know that their claims are invalid. He says later, ثُمَّ تُرَدُّونَ إِلَىٰ عَالِمِ الْغَيْبِ وَالشَّهَادَةِ, that then, after this, you will be transferred to a world where the unseen shall be revealed. Al-Ghayb. وَالشَّهَادَةِ, shahada, testimony. Where your leaders, those who were witness to you, they shall testify upon you. They shall testify to what your true intentions were. So this shaheed, or ashhad, or shahood, which are referred to in the Qur'an, their job is to testify the deeds and also the intentions of the ummah which they belong to. ثُمَّ تُرَدُّونَ إِلَىٰ عَالِمِ الْغَيْبِ وَالشَّهَادَةِ فَيُنَبِّئُكُمْ بِمَا كُنْتُمْ تَعْمَلُونَ, on that day it will be truly revealed what you were doing and what you were thinking and what you were saying. So this witness is, number one, it can be a prophet or a non-prophet. This witness cannot be dead, must be alive. And he must exist in every nation. And he must exist in every time. So even after the time of Prophet Isa alayhi salam, again, for the 6 centuries where there were no prophets, there were witnesses. In our time, there are also witnesses. Who are these witnesses? Now, according to the famous exegist, Quranic exegist, Al-Fakhr al-Razi, he says, after mentioning these verses, the verses which mention the witnesses who shall testify on the Day of Judgment, he says that these must always exist. There must be a person of authority which is higher above the believers, which is higher above the normal people. Someone who is given divine authority and he is given permission to testify and as a witness must exist at every time. And this is what we believe as well. And who is that person which exists now at this time, who fulfills the role of a witness? It is our 12th Imam, Al-Imam Al-Hujjah, Ajalallah Ta'ala Farajahu Sharif. However, there's a divergence in belief here. We, the followers of the school of thought of Ahlul Bayt, believe that the witness, this divinely appointed leader and divinely appointed guide, is in fact divinely appointed through the words of the Prophet and the Imams of Ahlul Bayt. In their thoughts, and this is where Al-Fakhr al-Razi makes the distinction, he says that this witness, this guide, this person of authority, this Imam, is appointed not through a divine decision, but rather through consensus, through ijma'. And remember, we discussed a few nights ago the mechanics of ijma' and consensus, where the Prophet said that my nation does not consent, they do not unite in error, which is correct, the nation does not unite in error. But there's never been, since the martyrdom of Rasulullah until today, there has never been an independent consensus. There has never been one issue where all the Muslims have gotten together and agreed and said, we will not disagree on this issue. Of course, something which cannot be found in, again, the Quran or the Hadith. Because you may say that, well, all Muslims believe that there is no God but Allah. That's already mentioned in the Quran and the Hadith. Consensus, an independent consensus, which has been established. It's never been established. So, there is no consensus right now. If I ask you, well, who is the witness of our time? If you ask me, I will say, for instance, the 12th Imam. But if you ask a person who doesn't believe that the 12th Imam is among us and he witnesses us, he won't have an answer. Or he'll say, it's someone else. It's the king or the president, for instance. Anyone that it could be. Or the community leader, the imam at the masjid. So there's no consensus. There is no ittifaq. There is no agreement. So for us, it is divine appointments. Here, we say the following. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refers to this witness not only as a shaheed, as a witness, but also by other attributes. So one attribute of this witness, which must exist at every time, they are referred to as the believers, al-mu'minun. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, وَقُلْ اِعْمَلُوا, say to the people, do good. فَسَيَرَى اللَّهُ عَمَلُكُمْ, that Allah will witness your deeds. Allah witnesses all of our deeds, good and bad. وَرَسُولُهُ, His Prophet is also a witness to your deed. وَالْمُؤْمِنُونَ, the believers shall also be witnesses to your deeds. According to the ahadith of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, when the Imams are asked of the interpretation of this verse, they say al-mu'minun refers to us. We are the believers which are referred to this verse. Now generally, whenever al-mu'minun or al-awliya or as-siddiqeen or as-shuhada are mentioned in the Quran, it is not exclusive. It does not mean that it is only Ahlul Bayt and no one else. Because other people are also considered believers. If you are truthful, you are a Siddiq. If you are a believer, you are a mu'min. If you are truthful, if you are good, if you are benevolent, you are considered among the abrar. However, the most fitting people, the people who fit this description the most, and this is the message that the Ahlul Bayt are trying to convey, that the people who fit this, these descriptions the most, the Abrar, the believers, the witnesses, those who do good, are the Imams of Ahlul Bayt alayhi wasalam. There's an inner meaning and an outer meaning to the verses. And this is what is mentioned in the Quran. لَا يَعْلَمُهُ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَالرَّاسِخُونَ فِي الْعِلْمِ There are verses which are, their knowledge is understood only by Allah and those who have firm and authentic knowledge. In other verses, and in the hadith, we understand that there are verses in the Quran that have more than one meaning. It's an inner meaning and an outer meaning. The inner meaning is understood by the Imams of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, the Prophet and the Imams of Ahlul Bayt. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. So the Quran is saying, do good. Allah will witness your good. The Prophet will witness your good, and the believers will also witness your good. So there's a witness at every time. When it comes to the Imams of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, we know that they are witnesses above us. A man comes to the eighth imam. I'll repeat this hadith I mentioned a few nights ago. A man comes to him and he tells him, Yabna Rasulullah. He says, I want you to pray for me and I want you to pray for my family as well. So the imam tells him, not only do we pray for you, do you not know that your deeds are shown to us every day and every night? We have access to your deeds. By the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He shows us the deeds of our followers. And we are the ones who either approve of the deeds of our followers or we do not approve. So it is not only Allah, it is not only the Prophet, it is the Imams of Ahlul Bayt alayhi wasalam. So let us keep this in mind, that the Imams of Ahlul Bayt, they are also watching over us. Today, we are commemorating the martyrdom of Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam, this giant, this great man. Any good attributes which I can attribute to him is not enough. There are no words which can truly describe the character and the personality of this man. But when we gather to commemorate, let us not only weep and cry for his loss, let us also honor the Imam by understanding that the Imam is watching over us. He is watching over our deeds. Remind yourself today and remind yourself tomorrow that this man who I am commemorating, who I am honoring, let me honor him by taking into consideration the fact that he is watching over. If Imam Amir al-Mu'mineen was among you, if he was alive, we know that he is a witness to our deeds. We know that the Prophet is a witness. We know that Allah is a witness. But imagine that he enters the room. When a respectable person enters the room, if a person of high regard enters the room, what do? We fix our conduct. If I'm laying down, for instance, I sit down, I fix the way that I'm sitting. If I'm talking in a loud voice, if I'm saying something inappropriate, I change my tone or fix what I'm talking about, right? Out of respect for this person, imagine that the Imam was to walk amongst you. What would you do? How would you adjust your conduct? It is these little reminders which separate the true followers of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam from those who claim to follow Ahlul Bayt. Many people claim to follow. Many people claim to follow the Prophet. But it is these regular adjustments that we take in our lives which allow us to truly walk in the footsteps of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. وَقُلْ اِعْمَلُوا Say, Ya Rasulullah, do good. Allah will witness your good. He will testify to it. وَرَسُولُهُ The believers, his prophets will also witness. وَالْمُؤْمِنُونَ The believers, and they are the Imams of Ahlul Bayt. They shall also witness. And he who is witnessing our deeds today, as we speak, is our 12th Imam, Al-Imam Al-Hujjah, Ajallahu Ta'ala Farajahu Al-Sharif. It is he who looks to our deeds, and it is he who prays for us. It is he who prays for our safety. We should also in return pray for his safety. We should pray for his reappearance. We should pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala honors us by allowing us to be among those who witness his arrival. Or at least if we do not witness his arrival, to be among those whom he is satisfied with and those whom he is happy with. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow us to be among those who He blesses with this honor and decrees it and decides this for us in this holy month, inshallah. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. وَالْعَصْرِ إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَفِي خُسْرٍ إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالْحَقِّ وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالصَّبْرِ وَصَلُّوا عَلَى مُحَمَّدٍ وَآلِ مُحَمَّدٍ. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين نحمده ونسبحه ونقدسه على آلائه ونعمائه ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أرسله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله اللهم صل وسلم وزد وبارك وترحم على محمد وآل محمد كما صليت وسلمت وباركت وترحمت على إبراهيم وآل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد وصل اللهم وسلم على أوصيائه وخلفائه وعترته وأهل بيته علي أمير المؤمنين وقائد الغر المحجلين وعلى البضعة الطاهرة فاطمة الزهراء سيدة نساء العالمين وعلى سبط نبي الرحمة وسيدي شباب أهل الجنة الحسن والحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين ومحمد بن علي وجعفر بن محمد وموسى بن جعفر وعلي بن موسى ومحمد بن علي وعلي بن محمد والحسن بن علي والخلف الهادي المهدي عجل الله تعالى فرجه وسهل مخرجه وجعلنا من أنصاره وأعوانه. عباد الله، أوصيكم ونفسي بتقوى الله عز وجل. قال الله في كتابه الحكيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وإذ أخذنا ميثاق بني إسرائيل لا تعبدون إلا الله وبالوالدين إحسانا وذي القربى واليتامى والمساكين وقولوا للناس حسنا صدق الله العلي العظيم وصلوا على محمد وآل محمد. Surah Al-Baqarah, chapter number 2, verse number 83, is among the first verses in the Qur'an which speaks about benevolence to the orphans, those who have lost their parents. He says, وَإِذْ أَخَذْنَا مِيثَاقَ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ لَا تَعْبُدُونَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. He says that we, speaking of himself, we have taken the oath from Bani Israel. What kind of oath have we taken? It is to the following effect. لَا تَعْبُدُونَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. That you worship none but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do not allow people to misguide you. Do not allow people to convince you to worship other than Allah. If you read the story of Bani Israel, tragically this is what happened. That Musa left to receive the commandments. When he came back, he found them worshipping other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is why Allah reminds them that God has taken an oath from you. He has decreed that you worship no one but Allah, no one but Him. The next clause says that He has taken an oath to the following effect. وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. Benevolence towards your parents. وَذِي الْقُرْبَى وَالْيَتَامَى وَالْمَسَاكِينَ وَقُولُوا لِلنَّاسِ حُسْنًا. So the oath that he has taken comprises of two main things. One is worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone, not associating with him, not associating any partners with him, and not disbelieving in him. The second refers to benevolence. And in the Quran, worship, being devout, servitude, is always compared, it is always coupled with work. So there is belief and there is work. There is amal, there is belief, iman, and there is amal. There is belief, and there is good work. Now it's interesting, because at the top of the list of benevolence, doing good, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, who's number one on the list of doing good towards? Who's number one on the list of benevolence? It is the parents. In another verse he says, وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ أَن لَا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّاهِ وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. Different verses in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about worshipping Him, only Him, and then He compares worshipping only Him to being benevolent towards the parents. So without being benevolent towards the parents, there is no worship. And what gives benevolence to the parents value, it's a good deed in itself, but what gives it even more value is that you worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You worship Him and you do not associate partners with Him. He says, worship none but Allah. And then on the list of benevolence, number one is your parents. Number two, dil-qurba, the closest of kin. And then he mentions, after the closest of kin, al-yatama, the orphans. Be good to the orphans. Be benevolent towards the orphans. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in encouraging us to support the orphans, he says to his people that me, myself, Rasulullah, and he who sponsors an orphan is like these two fingers. He puts his two fingers together. Is like this is the proximity. This is how close I will be with this person on the Day of Judgment and in heaven. Ana wa kafil al-yatim. Me and the sponsor of an orphan are like these two fingers. This is how close we will be in heaven. Al-Imam Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi afdalus salatu was salam, whom we commemorate today, this was one of his attributes, is that he was a father to the orphans. During nights like these, after the Imam was struck down in his mihrab, and he was on his deathbed for two nights before he passed away, the narrators say that the orphans whom he would feed, the orphans whom he was benevolent towards, they gathered at his door. On a night like this, they gathered at his door in order to repay him the favor that he had done for them for so long. The Imam would, at night, after he was done with his duties as a governor, as a general, as a leader of the people, it wasn't going back to his bed to sleep. It wasn't going back to his family in order to sleep. In fact, if we know anything of Amir al-Mu'mineen, after the passing away of Fatima al-Zahra alayhi salam, he said, I have never had one night of content and satisfaction. That's it. My nights are, they're full of despair. They are full of grief. But he endures his hardships and he discharges his obligations towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He tells Uthman ibn Hunayf, when he writes a letter to him, his governor, his representative in the city of Basra, he says, O Uthman, he says, blessed are the people who discharge their responsibilities, their obligations towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They fulfill it to the fullest, and at the same time they endure the hardships. They don't complain of the hardships. Fulfilling your responsibilities entails that there's lots of hardships that you are going to complain. He said, the blessed people are the ones who do good and they do not complain. They endure their hardships. He says they are people that do not approach their beds. They don't have a bed. They spend their nights in servitude and in worship and serving others. And when they are tired, they lay down on the floor and they use their arm as a pillow just to close their eyes, just for a few moments, just for maybe a couple of hours, 1 or 2 hours, in order to restore their energy so that they can go back to their servitude, their service to Allah and their service to people. Blessed are the people whose mouths are filled not with gossip, but it is filled with the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Imam, during these nights, he would go out and people would not recognize him. And he would take the food on his back and he would deliver it to the poor people. And nobody had a clue who this person was. He would go to the orphans and he would feed them. No one knew who this person was until the night that he was struck down. the people notice that this visitor at night, this gracious, kind visitor, is not visiting us anymore. When they realized it was Amir al-Mu'mineen, they went to his door. The orphans, they were the ones that gathered at the door of Amir al-Mu'mineen to show them, to show their support, and in order to console his orphans, which he left behind. So taking care of the orphans, brothers and sisters, this is something that we should also incorporate into our own lives. If we want to walk in the footsteps of Rasulullah, let us incorporate the orphans into our lives. If we want to walk in the footsteps of Amir al-Mu'mineen, let us sponsor an orphan. Sponsor one orphan if you can. It doesn't cost too much, I promise. Especially if you are sponsoring orphans in third world countries. You know, the line of poverty is those who live on less than $2 a day. $2 a day is nothing. The coffee which we get at Starbucks every morning is less than $2 a day. Donate this. Donate this to an orphan. Or share an orphan. Just for one day. The coffee which you purchase for yourself or the breakfast that you have, share this with an orphan. Just for one day. That's all that is required from us. If you cannot do every day, then once a month. If not once a month, once every 6 months. Once a year even. However, do not completely abandon it. If you want benevolence, if you want to secure your belief, Allah is telling, worship none, but also work, also do amal. Be benevolent towards your parents, and be benevolent towards the orphans as well. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us the privilege and the honor of being among those who walk in the footsteps of Rasulullah. Brothers and sisters, as is our habit, we want to remember those who today and yesterday and tomorrow are the people, are the subjects of oppression, are the subjects of injustices. There are orphans numbering in the thousands, in the hundreds of thousands, in the millions. Orphans even where we live today in this country, you don't have to go far. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not say be benevolent towards believing orphans, Muslim orphans, any orphan, an orphan who has lost a parent, a father or a mother, be good to them, be kind to them. You don't know what, see, sometimes as human beings, and inshallah we won't be held accountable for this, but sometimes we are inconsiderate towards people's feelings. We don't know how people are feeling on the inside. When a person loses a father or a mother, we don't know how they're feeling on the inside. When a person loses a family member, we don't know how they're feeling on the inside. And this is how we are, we're human beings, you know, sometimes we become selfish. The message of Islam, the message of Ahlul Bayt is do not be selfish. Try to put yourself in that person's shoes. And even when it comes to orphans, it doesn't say just feed them. It says be good to them. Because even when you feed an orphan, no matter how much you feed him, even if you feed him every day, you can't bring back what is lost. You can't bring back the father or the mother which is lost. So be good to them. Benevolence in all forms, whether it is financial benevolence, whether it is moral benevolence, whether it is spiritual or emotional support. Sometimes a person who loses a parent, they're well off, they can support themselves, but they want emotional support. They want spiritual support. Let us provide this spiritual support. Again, I mentioned the best thing that we can do for the situation of our brothers and sisters overseas, for the brothers and sisters which are in our community, is to offer them our dua. Brothers and sisters, please raise your hands and let us recite this dua 5 times for the people who are sick in our communities and communities overseas, for the people of Iraq and Syria and Gaza and India and Pakistan and Bahrain and all over the world, places we have mentioned and where we have not mentioned. Remember them in your dua. If you want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to fulfill your needs, if you want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to keep you away from deviation, from corruption, from evil, the best thing to do is to ask Allah with sincere hearts and on a blessed day like this and on a blessed night like this to lift the misery of other people. A'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajim, bismillahir rahmanir rahim. أَمَّنْ يُجِيبُ الْمُضْطَرَّ إِذَا دَعَاهُ وَيَكْشِفُ السُّوءَ أَمَّنْ يُجِيبُ الْمُضْطَرَّ إِذَا دَعَاهُ وَيَكْشِفُ السُّوءَ
أما أن يجيب المضطر إذا دعاه ويكشف السوء أما أن يجيب المضطر إذا دعاه ويكشف السوء أما أن يجيب المضطر إذا دعاه ويكشف السوء
اللهم اغفر للمؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات الأحياء منهم والأموات تابع بيننا وبينهم بالخيرات إنك مجيب الدعوات إنك قاضي الحاجات إنك على كل شيء قدير برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين وصلى الله وسلم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين.